Hello, and welcome to Dice Punks, a tabletop role-playing podcast where we focus on playing full campaigns in less well-known systems. This week, the Frontispiece 4 regroup after the Vrutek heist and figure out what to do about Matchstick's mysterious invitation from Hahi. Hello and welcome. I'm Adam, your friendly neighborhood game master, and joining me are...
Hi, I'm Drew, and I'll be playing Cato Burke, a.k.a. Hecate, questionable small business owner, questionable social media stalker, very successful participant in the most recent mission.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I'll be playing Cal Armitage, which, for the 11th time, is officer to you.
I'm Dez, and I will be playing Matchstick, who is riding the high of having been a gremlin loose in a building.
Hello, I'm Nick, and I will be playing Ing. Don't call him a robot, he is an android. The distinction is important.
It is, so thank you. Let's get right into it with our recap of last time, courtesy this time of Cal.
I haven't seen that droid shrink in a while. Haven't had time, and I doubt Tupper is going to be pinged about it now that IMX is breathing down his neck. I figure I'd better keep this up for the sake of appearance, but what could I say? I aided and abetted some kids in a heist. I didn't have to. It wasn't even related to that creepy pasta in the basement. But I showed up anyway, walked them through the art of stakeouts. I had to take a call midway through the heist from Max Broderick. He was complaining about a brick through his window. Best description he could give me of the suspect? They have blue hair. Used a trebuchet. That describes a surprising number of students. The blue hair, not the trebuchet. Since I plan to delete this anyway, more students ought to get a trebuchet and, frankly, use it for the same thing. In my absence, Cato was approached by some strange girl with some pretty painful-looking augments. I don't think I missed much there. I allowed a kid, a literal one, I suspect, to enter a highly secured building on their own because, well, I had no reason to believe they were capable, but I also had no reason to believe they weren't. The kid was successful, overall. They managed to destroy the data that K&B wanted erased, found a strange file with the name Canopus, then received some messages in the command line that they were using to hack the system. I would almost be impressed if two of Ing's drones weren't captured on camera. The alarm sounded. They made an exit via the fire escape. Cato tried to make a distraction, I suppose. Anyway, it was enough to let me tase a bounty, Kenneth Appleby's or some such, and leave him for collection, assuming that waste management doesn't beat them to the punch. That, at least, made the day worthwhile in my book. Can you imagine the look on Tupper's face if he knew? At any rate, the kid was invited to some event, likely a trap, by someone called Hee-haw? No. Ha-hee. Definitely a trap. I'd better tag along for that, too. Just to make sure they don't get into trouble. That would leave me to clean up their mess anyway. Gosh, let's do this for real now. Officer Armitage log, badge number A41214. Except this isn't supposed to be a case log, is it? I've met some people. I don't think they like me. But that's no surprise, is it? One of them hates me as much as you. Almost. There's some pay dirt for you, damn shrink. tell me why being hated feels like home. Then you can shove that analysis down your fake mouth and choke on it, end log.
Damn.
Awesome.
I am, jeez. I'm used to having that reaction to various of your stingers, but we're starting out strong this time, which I very much appreciate. An effective recap and a bit of a gut punch. Making it slightly awkward, I suppose, to abruptly shift gears to a little bit of an interstitial here of character advancement. We finally, after last time, have enough XP that people can, if they wish to at this time, either advance a level in their occupation or take a level in a new one. So do we have any character advancement this time? And if so, what are we doing?
We do. I can start if we're doing intro order.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, I'm going to advance in my current occupation as a fixer, and specifically I'm going to specialize in my license. For the listener, the current, you know, thing that I have reads, you may possess 2 restricted assets or augments without getting into trouble, chosen when you buy the license. Cops may still snatch them if they take you in, but they are generally required to give them back unless the promised civil asset forfeiture bill is passed by Unity next year, or I guess this year. So I am made mostly of crimes. So what I'm going to do is specialize in this such that I can upgrade my license to cover an additional restricted asset per specialty. So I think we'll get the actual assets themselves through play, but I now am covered if, for example, the extremely illegal gun I have needs to be more legal.
Indeed.
Or at least less illegal.
Less illegal would be if you want to be a pedant about it, and I do, then yes, that's exactly what I mean.
All right, thank you very much. That was a great summary. Cal, anything you want to do character advancement wise this time?
I am also going to level up in my occupation of soldier. I am taking a new talent on, which is walking armory. Now that there are multiple guns in the mix, might as well be able to reload them easily. And in my case, once per mission for free. I'm also, I think it's a good thing that I become a bit more capable with my gun. So I'm taking a generic, or excuse me, an asset specialty of 1 in that.
Excellent. Yeah, so Cal, already dangerous in a firefight, has just gotten more so.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Burn, any particular character advancement for you?
I am also taking another level in my occupation, hacker. The talent I am choosing is a generic talent, basement dweller. I always know where the nearest access point is to the station basements. Think back rooms, but like dwelt in.
It's not liminal if you live there.
Really?
Point taken.
Additionally, in addition to knowing the where and the how to access of it all, I get +1 to rolls related to the basements. So knowledge of navigation within, etc. Mm-hmm. Sneaking. And for my specialty upgrades, I've gone with 1 more for hacking and 1 more for stealth.
Perfect. You will be nigh unstoppable at hacking, I think, at this point.
The hope is also that I will be nigh unstoppable at stealth.
Mm-hmm. Certainly getting there. All right. And Ing, any advancement this time?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with robo-rapport, which gives me some advantage on talking to humans. So when I roll a critical success on a social roll against a human, I take +1 to my next social roll. So those of you that have listened to previous episodes know that Ing has tremendous experience with extreme violence, but has managed to delete those subroutines from his own programming, and so is looking for an alternative to violence and a way to avoid it is through talking to people. So he's really leaning into that, hoping to find some nonviolent solution.
Marvelous.
Love that. I would only add that although the other players kind of know about Ing's history of extreme violence, I would remind the listener that the characters kind of still don't.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
None of us know very much about each other at all.
Bit of a theme, yeah.
Bunch of, to coin a phrase, cagey motherfuckers.
I didn't mean to be cagey, by the way, about my specialty advancement, criminal underworld and cybernetics, by the way. So those are both at +3 now. So in those relatively narrow circumstances, I'll also be unstoppable-ish.
And I'll be advancing the operator subclass.
Yeah. All right. Anything to add advancement wise?
We have 2 XP remaining.
I did leave out another specialty.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I upped my previously classified specialty, but now can be revealed as bounty hunter to 2.
Excellent. Yeah, I mean, clearly getting some use out of it by this point, which actually brings me to a good segue. We have some cash, finally. I ruled at the end of last session, usually cash is rolled for. You can lose it on a bad roll at the end of each session. But since Cal just baconed Kenneth at the very end of the session, I ruled that they would get their bounty at the beginning of this session. So, Cal, if you have not already, you have 2 cash. You can mark that down.
I like my bacon fry.
Yeah. So, if it's not used during this session, there is the chance for it to go away at the end of the session now. Similarly, this system is not the crunchiest in the world, but there are a lot of moving parts in certain ways, and I tend to get lost in the sauce of the setting a lot of the time. So I have overlooked the fact each session so far that Cato owns a small business, which is supposed to give 2 cash at the beginning of each mission unless Cato suffers economic shock. And so we've had 2 missions now, and we sort of kind of elided the 2 cash at the beginning of the first one because Cato had embezzled exactly 2 cash, so it kind of was a wash. But the beginning of the second mission, the Vertec heist, we didn't do that at all, and nothing particularly came
of
it.
And he didn't embezzle.
And he didn't embezzle, shockingly.
Failing that I will correct in the future.
Retroactively, I am awarding Cato 2 cash from the business. I mean, it is like the second busiest time of year, the beginning of fall semester being the busiest, the beginning of spring semester being the second busiest. So 2 cash on hand in just, unreinvested revenue from the frontispiece. So again, excellent. Same rules, use it or lose it, or I guess use it or risk losing it at the end of the session. There'll be a role for that. So we've done character advancement. We've done cash. I think we're now ready to rejoin everybody in the back room of the frontispiece.
One further question. Personal goals for everyone?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Since that is one of the primary ways of actually getting XP.
Yeah, this had come up between sessions, and then I had forgotten it in the interim. So in Hardwired Island, personal goals are a way of generating experience, sort of milestones that don't have to do necessarily with like missions specifically. The thing about this group of players and this group of characters is that they may not always be public. So I'm not going to ask anybody who doesn't want to share what their personal goals may be, but I am going to try to ask everybody to let me know when you think you have maybe accomplished one or when you want to sort of make one known so that I can award experience appropriately. Since everybody in the group helped achieve a personal goal, when you achieve a personal goal, everybody gets an experience point. So now our listeners are aware of that mechanic and we can bring it up as warranted. Particular questions anybody think they want to either announce a personal goal that they have or have had or think they have completed a personal goal that should be a milestone.
I think it would be presumptuous of me to name a goal that I've already completed, but the goals that I'm considering with regards to my particular character are either getting a message off station and learning my birthday, which I tried and failed to do. so far, or make a significant bit of progress with regards to or contribution to Android rights, I think would also be a good one. Or possibly, what was the third? Find a religion that he can then ascribe to, which, you know, again, feels arbitrary, but, you know, would be one of the potential paths that Ing is on. So it could be none of those.
Maybe my brain just started playing REM.
Yep.
You can't lose a religion if you haven't.
Well, if somebody else lost theirs, then maybe I could find the one that they lost, Finders Keepers.
That's true. And I was going to say, too, that, you know, maybe instead of REM, it's MER, Finding My Religion.
I like the idea of collecting lost religions, though.
Hoarding religions.
It sort of feels like...
That's you in the center of the room.
Excuse me, the inversion was incomplete. No, a lost and found for religions is a dope idea. It's probably outside the scope of this paper.
I was going to say, yeah, it's maybe a different system. Too bad we didn't think of it for Nobilis, honestly.
I mean, that concept might have spawned a campaign in the background at some point.
We'll see. We'll see. So, if there isn't anything else to put on air or in front of our fellow players in terms of goals, then I think it is high time that we jumped back into the timeline and progress of events, namely the frontispiece. Friday evening, January the 17th, 2020. The back room, the baby hanging from the ceiling in a Faraday cage and restrictive... there's a word for it. Restraints. A Faraday cage and restraints. Prolix, yowling and talking.
Prolix, yes. Living up to his name.
Mm-hmm. It's not appropriate for him.
That's saying something, goodness.
I don't know what it says, but I'm 99% sure I know exactly what Rabbit was thinking, so I'll just be over here.
Yep. I mean, with the Dreamer, mind went to Gladys and that whole situation.
That's much more appropriate.
I mean, is it?
Remains to be seen, I guess.
Please proceed.
Yes. Yes, I insist.
Present, other than Prolix and the baby, are our player characters and Bronwy Gorister, having clocked out and gone home for the day. The frontispiece is closed. The out to blunch sign has been taken down. Everybody has regrouped after the heist. But we haven't had a whole lot of time to debrief, as it were. We've had a counterintuitively sincere slow clap for Burn. And then Burn has received a notification containing an obscured email address and a relatively ornate image of a sort of save the date, please RSVP invitation to a soiree Monday evening on the other end of Grand Cross's O'Neill Cylinder, addressed from capital H, lowercase a, capital H, lowercase I, Hahi. And that's where we rejoin our events in progress.
I walk out of the room because I have to go let K and B now.
Valid.
That's important.
Do you announce where you are going or why, or you just walk out of the room without saying anything?
They just fucking slow clapped me. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Sure, yeah. So Burn leaves the room. Everybody else is still standing there.
I would like to note, for the record, that I did not slow clap you. Or clap, for that matter.
Thank you for the reminder. Amusingly, you did make it abundantly clear last time that you were not clapping, but it has been a couple weeks since then for our listeners, so good to remind us that no slow clapping was done on Cal's part.
I am nothing if not consistent.
So, we will catch up.
Yes, Burn, you were the group sundere.
Cal doesn't know what that means.
Cal doesn't know what that means and would also pronounce it to sunder. So we're gonna catch up with Burn in just a moment. Everybody that Burn just left behind, any particular comments, actions, reactions?
I merely nod to myself.
Makes sense.
Also, canopus.dr whatever.
DRS.
DRS, thank you. Finds its way into Kato's storage. Encrypted in our shorthand for only look at this in a sanitary environment.
So it seems like there is mostly an awkward silence after Burn leaves.
It seems so.
Yeah, sure. So we rejoin Burn. Are you going to your, I'm going to call it your room, even though it may not quite qualify as a room?
Yes. I mean, it's definitely a room, at least according to the schematics that Den created for us.
Thanks for that, Den. Very inspiring.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Den. I guess I would probably use Cubby a little bit more readily. Only because I'm a little bit of a sardonic so-and-so. Anyway, you have what modicum of privacy is available in the recesses of the frontispiece. Contacting K&B directly?
Yeah.
All right. K&B is awaiting your... communique, not because she knew anything in particular about your schedule, because she has been on tenterhooks about this whole affair. Are you just messaging, emailing, IMing, FaceTiming? How are you getting in touch?
I think I actually voice call.
All right. Whatever the equivalent...
Which K&B will know is uncharacteristic.
Oh, for sure. Whatever this particular application's equivalent of a ring is, K&B picks up on the first one. Just voice. Is immediately... Hi, Burn? Good news?
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
Not... perfectly smooth, but, you know, success. Found a couple of other interesting things that, well, another interesting thing that may pan out or not. It's currently in storage until I set up a sanitary environment to look at it.
Well, I hope when you do, you'll share, but, you know, your prerogative, obviously. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it depends partly on the degree to which it intersects with Kato's other doings.
Understand. Well, this is honestly just such a huge favor, and I owe you guys one, so, you know, call it in whenever. I know I got into hot water this time, but I swear I'm pretty good at what I do. I don't have a whole lot to spare, but... Well, I've got an account that I can point some stuff at for the frontispiece, so you should see some resources show up there hopefully soon. Not a lot, but it's just of saying thanks. I
mean, what I might be interested in is if you have some more specialized programs that might be available for trade.
I've got some. Anything in particular that you're interested in?
Pardon me as I look at my character sheet.
Sure.
Given the nature of this job, I think something that might make it faster to search through a targeted volume.
She makes a thoughtful noise that I will attempt to approximate in a way that will play on the podcast. It goes something like, And after a brief pause says, you know, I think not only can I work something up from a tool I currently have, but I think it'll even be fun. So, you know, if this is a decent place to point it out when it's done, I'll be happy to share.
Delightful, thank you.
The code you just scrubbed is going to be part of what I use for it, actually.
Nice.
This, you know, sort of anti-AI stuff has to be pretty sophisticated in its heuristics. So it makes a good base for this kind of thing.
Good. I'm glad that my efforts can be helpful to this effort.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you were able to save us all some grief. I mean, me mostly, but, you know, having this stuff not in their hands is honestly going to just make the orbital internet much more usable in the coming months as all of this, you know, sure, AI stuff gets rolled out.
There was a weird feature of their network that I wanted to bring up to you.
Oh, please tell.
As I was doing my thing on their blade, something, and keep in mind, like, something, I'm not sure it was a person, started communicating with me in the command line messages.
Oh, unusual.
Specifically asking who is intruder. I responded in approximately the expected fashion.
That laugh is KNB in character.
People we don't like. People who are well known. Your mom for all values, all relevant values of you.
She replies, right. These inclusive nuts.
Do you know of any accounts of anything like that happening from others?
I haven't heard anything specific, but just thinking about it, you know, it feels like something that a hacker did. It doesn't feel like something that would be in part of a corporate security suite or anything, but I don't know of anyone off the top of my head who would have just left an Easter egg like that in Vrutex of all people's systems.
Right.
I guess the other option is that you actually ran into somebody else snooping into their system and they were just a weirdo. Which, I mean, given hackers, not impossible.
Right. Hardly impossible. And, well, the third possible worrying option is actually AI.
Oh, I hope not.
I hope not too, but it seemed worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, if it is actually AI, I don't know that there's any way we can verify that or do anything with the information without going back in.
Which would be a poor plan.
Yeah, especially right now. Thanks again.
We were, I was not subtle in my departure, although I was not, I think, seen as myself.
Oh, good. I hope none of this rebounds upon you all. It's, you know, a big favor you've done for me, and I'll try to pay you back in kind. I'll look into, though, the
yeah, you're,
who
you're
is intruder.
I think, a bit better networked than I am, so if you hear anything about this sort of thing happening to others, I would be interested to know.
Certainly, and look, I won't keep you or anything, but I know this was a big ask, and I appreciate you doing it, and well, just keep in touch. You know, it's good to have friends in the space.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Does the name Hahi mean anything to you?
Hahi. She sort of makes...
H is capitalized.
Thoughts. She makes thoughtful noises for a second and then says, wait a second. No, you know, it's not like a big thing, but I do think that there's a booby-trapped file. Hang on. you hear some keystrokes. Yeah, no, it's a directory named Canopus shows up in a few corpo systems, and you get contacted by Hahi after you, like, copy the file. It doesn't seem to matter what you do with it. It seems like the action of copying it actually triggers something. Yeah, most people... Well, I say that. I really only know of two instances. But on message boards, the consensus from those two instances seems to be that it's a prank. But,
What's the nature of the contact, do you know?
Well, I don't, but I'll look into it. It's possible Okay. Somebody's posted something about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, I owe you. Yeah, let me know if there's anything else I can do.
Yeah.
Ah, goodness. It's always so awkward getting off the phone. don't usually... Look, just convey my gratitude to everybody
Will
else
do.
And, you know, don't be a stranger.
Yeah, no, take care.
Yeah, you too. And she hangs up.
Yep. Awkward teenagers on the phone.
Mm-hmm. No, you first.
That is not the nature of this
relationship.
No,
not this particular one, no. All right. So meanwhile, while that conversation has been going on, has there been any conversation in the back room where everybody else is currently standing?
There was an excruciating pause, I think.
Yeah, certainly.
Then I did say, I don't think they liked the clap.
Yeah, it must be bashful. yeah. But they did a great job. So maybe they'll get used to it eventually.
Do they do this often?
Which part? The success or the not wanting to hear that they're good at it?
Mostly the former.
More often than I'd like, if I'm perfectly honest. It's risky, but, I mean, they're good at it. There's no denying it.
Mm. Huh.
And they've done physical incursions like this before.
That's the, only thing I can think of where they're comfortable physically existing. Like, really comfortable. Like, in their element. Yeah, when they're sneaking in somewhere.
Alright. Seems like a terrible risk, but then again, what's not?
In the interest of sharing with a group, since we're working together, I hate every second of it. But, I think it's non-negotiable.
Feels... weird to be party to putting a child in danger.
Can't say I've ever let a kid go into a high security situation like that before.
You're going to tell me I'm rationalizing, and you're probably right, but I think the amount of danger the kid would be in otherwise is probably greater, not lesser.
What was it that you told me I would say you were doing?
Don't recall.
Rationalizing?
Says the voice in my head.
Says possibly Bronwy.
God?
Actually, yeah, I think that probably was Bronwy. Mm. I just was mostly going for the joke at the time, but...
I totally thought that was the voice of God.
I mean, it was me making a joke out of scene, but yeah, I think actually Bronwy probably did not pick up on the dynamic there and went... rationalizing?
I just pointing at her.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, probably. If you've got a better plan, I am open to suggestions.
Well, I don't. You make some good points. To that point, though, the danger, I think, isn't over. You know, we've got in and out, but somebody saw Burn in person, even if not on camera, and... I think that Buddy and Tran will have to go into a bit of a witness protection program. Maybe some
new identities,
body modification.
Mustaches.
Yeah.
Bronwy goes, "Oh my God, who are Buddy and Tran?"
Buddy, Tran, Care to introduce yourselves before you're radically altered? And yeah, both Buddy and Tran peek out from beneath Ing's clothing. So you do see a dragonfly and a hummingbird.
It takes Broadway a slow count of three to realize that you're talking about the drones that are peeking out. And she goes, oh, oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, no,
now I get it.
Buddy's a goddamn work of art. This is heartbreaking. I feel like you're not taking it seriously. Ing says,
no, partially serious. I do understand. I just, I was having to switch gears there. Honestly, no, they're both sublime. And I hope that their alterations manage to preserve their essential spirit.
Yeah, they're not quite sentient, but doesn't mean that I don't have feelings for them.
No, of course not. I genuinely thought you were talking about people I didn't know.
Yeah, no. They were both...
There might be a related topic there, actually.
Oh?
Yeah, well, I guess the topic is stuff Bronwy doesn't know or hasn't known previously. I think perhaps our situation is becoming untenable, given that the danger hasn't passed, and it might be time for us to either function as a broader collective or not be one.
At this point, Burn, your chat with K&B is probably over. If you are emerging, then you can take up a part in this conversation. If not, then that's fine. I just wanted to give you the opportunity.
I will knock and ask if they're done discussing me.
Never.
Yeah, probably not.
As of about 10 minutes ago.
You're welcome to join, though. I mean, you know, it's a topic you know a great deal about, so join the fun.
And I do.
Okay. So you then are present for the beginning of the conversation about establishing a consensus vis-a-vis Bronwy. So Bronwy has on, at this point, kind of a very obvious mask of impassivity. Okay, yeah, no, for sure. Now I was talking to Cato about this. It's just, you know, if I'm gonna stay hanging around, I should probably, you know, just be part of the group. She seems very uncomfortable in a way that she wasn't talking to just Cato, talking about this in front of, presumably the awkwardness comes primarily from the police officer in the room, but probably also to some degree from the mumble teen in the room.
I mean, I'll look her dead in the eye at this and say, I mean, you'll be joining a bunch of cagey motherfuckers who don't share information well. I will look very much at the cop. Because, you know, there isn't a mirror handy.
That comment cracks her mask of impassivity almost as soon as she puts it on. And she just sort of guffaws and she says, you know, I do feel like if there's exists enough trust to undertake operations like the ones you'd have to keep me out of between the four of you, then... God help me, but I kind of trust it. So I know that it's a whole consensus thing and whatnot, but no, I don't think I mind the caginess of the motherfuckery.
Right. And there is occasional heat. So as long as you're okay with that.
Occasional heat is why I'm here.
I think Bronwy's already well aware of our tendency towards fires.
There is a warehouse-shaped hole in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I attempt not to smile at this.
There is a Faraday cage suspended from a ceiling.
She literally points at it and goes, good work if I do say so myself. Gorister helped.
I will tip the hat that I'm not wearing at Bronwy at that, which I think may be one of my first actual like gestures of respect.
Mm-hmm. She reciprocates with a very slight, very brief mock curtsy.
Well, by all means, then, share the warmth and welcome aboard.
We do operate on consensus here, officer.
If you kids are fine with it, so am I.
At what point does someone stop being a kid, officer?
Remains to be seen.
you'll know it when you see it. Like the best of law enforcement.
The very best.
I feel I have neglected my duty here, because under all conversation that has been taking place in the back room has been Prolix's litany of nonsense. So in this like little pause here in the conversation, Prolix has arrived at bed sincerity, yet therefore forfeited his certainty neglected questions. Pursuit chamber as elderly amongst on, distant however warranty farther to of. And that is only a piece of what has been going on this whole time.
It's like living next Prolix to a highway. Allow it. Like you eventually kind of stop hearing it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Actually, can I have spent a moment adapting the anti-Augvert software to also de-Prolix?
So here's the thing about Prolix's collar. It does not have any way of accessing it via a network. It is a totally self-contained device.
Ugh.
Out of character, I'm relieved.
Same.
I mean, same.
So, Bronwy, for her part, is attempting a dignified, if not solemn, air, but clearly gratified and a little excited at joining a criminal conspiracy. And so it's just kind of like slight smile, kind of looking from person to person, waiting for somebody to like start the process of telling her what the hell is going on.
Well, there we are then. 5 kg, 1 caged, sometimes chorister. I think the most immediate course of action is what the fallout is likely to be for what the fuck we just did, but we should also probably explain how we got here.
Bronwy, I'm all ears. If we want to particularly get into the particulars of this conversation, we can. Otherwise, we can just elide the fact that you catch Bronwy up, presumably on both the Vrutek heist that you just pulled and what you know about the baby.
Which ain't much, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of my contributions are to the tune of, anyway, started blasting.
Oh my god. Cal will always kind of be Danny DeVito from here on out. in my imagination.
Danny DeVito in a wig. I can't unsee it.
Oh, don't mind me.
Oh, boy. So, you know, there's a process there of Bronwy reacting to things that you say, asking follow-up questions. In the case of the auction operation and its aftermath, being as frustrated as you are by the lack of concrete information, she resolves to do some more research into the creepypasta that seems to have been based on the baby, you know, a little deeper than just looking at deleted forum posts and whatnot, to try and see if there's anything to it. and is interested in the various contexts of cannabis as a designation that you've come across. Sometime during this catching Bronwy up conversation, Burn, you will receive a probably email from K&B with what she's managed to find about the contents of the cannabis.drs directory, just from message boards. It's not a lot, but it seems like the people who have investigated it have found it to be probably not an overstatement to say stultifying. It appears to contain paperwork.
Okay. And anything about the resulting communique from copying it?
The communique from copying it is always exactly what you received.
Okay. Always 3 days hence, or always...
Always a Monday.
Okay.
The next Monday, specifically.
Okay. Always the same place?
Seemingly. Always here is doing a lot of work because there are, like, three examples to pull from.
Sure, sure.
Meanwhile, do I have, like, on my person a safe environment in which to look at the invitation, or is that something I would have to, like, plug into a different terminal for?
As you live with Burn, I think probably you have it in your mobile computing environment.
Cool. Okay, so I do at some point check that out, and...
I forward along to you Canby's summary of cannabis.drs, mm-hmm. as well as... presumably she linked a forum post about it or something.
Yeah. A few links and then descriptions of what they contain.
And also the note that there may be some cash appearing in the frontispiece's accounts for our services.
Indeed. And if you do check, it is just one cash, but that does bring you up to three as the proprietor of the frontispiece.
Excellent. The text you get back is noted public consumption? ? Ka-ching.
No.
you get a poorly drawn thumbs up ASCII. It looks like the thumb is broken, but it's probably intelligible.
I send it back with like highlighted comments,
like red pen, like
the ASCII no, like in a Word document, like changes comments.
Gotcha. like Jira tickets about what needs to be improved. Okay, I mean, I acknowledge the receipt, but yeah, I do not give you a new draft at this time. Okay, so meanwhile we're catching Bronwy up.
Yeah. So once she is up to speed, she looks at the baby with sort of new respect, I guess would be the phrase I would use. She says, "Yeah, well that all seems to have escalated pretty quickly. But thank you for telling me, and this is definitely dangerous, but I would be lying if I said it wasn't also exciting. I mean, this is a genuine mystery."
It's a mystery that took a lot of bullets.
True, but, you know, it seems to be more or less just, you know, inert now, right?
Hopefully stays that way.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Could come back at any moment.
Yeah. There's a disconcerting thought. What's next in figuring this out? And can I help?
Well, I don't think we know, so maybe. The thing is, the thing that makes it a genuine mystery, the thing that makes it interesting, is that it's categorically unlike anything else, so I don't know what expert to go to, except one in things that are categorically unlike other things, I suppose.
Now, that fellow that came into the bookstore before, Canibus, did it seem like he was inordinately interested or alluding to what we were also bidding on? Wonder if they know more about it.
Talked a series of bullshit that could have been related or could have been regular bullshit. Mm. Hard to tell.
Or even the other bidders that were there, if we can identify any of them, especially the high bidders, might know what they were bidding on, unlike us chuckle fucks.
That's a good point.
Yeah, for our listeners, since it's been a minute, there were two particularly significant other bidders. One, a fancily enchassied android, and the other, someone with sort of like, you know, hat, mask on, who was like making a call as people were evacuating in a panic. Didn't seem quite as upset at the turn of events, or surprised perhaps as at the turn of events. So don't know how much of that information had made its way into the conversation with Bronwyn. I don't know that a play-by-play of the auction and its aftermath was part of that, but just kind of, you know, things that have been on air that it might be useful to have a refresher on for our listeners.
No, helpful for me. Oh, yeah. And I think Winning says that I sort of summarize, you know, the likely suspects from the auction as best we know them. And I do glance over at Matchstick every so often to say, is what I'm saying something you want to nuke me at orbit for? nuke me from orbit for? With my eyes, you know, with each piece of information. We're still feeling out how cagey to be here.
I mean, after about the third time you do this, you get a Morse code. Just tell her what you want. Mm-hmm. About this. There is that half second pause there.
Sure. you get the Morse code for thumbs up back. Yeah, so we convey
for,
what we
for
know.
No reason that anyone else can tell, I extravagantly roll my eyes.
They may not think you need a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Natural state. I convey, yeah, the information about like what we know, which again isn't much, but you know, descriptions of the folks at the auction who, if they didn't know what they were bidding on, still might have known it was something valuable, dangerous, might have had some reason to believe that something extraordinary was there, as opposed to merely expensive.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I reiterate the working suspicion that the android in particular was potentially part of Law Zero, I believe it was.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Potentially only slightly less dangerous than tracking down that particular contact would be the Terror Boys themselves. Didn't seem to know what they had, but surely they acquired the item from somewhere. And if we could discover where that might be, we might have an additional clue as to what we actually have.
I suspect they were set up.
Oh, for sure. Mm. No, they're a patsy that got this dumped on them and made it seemed like it was a good opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you think whoever made them the patsy was smart enough not to let anything slip?
Maybe. And or... the Terabyte Boys are not exactly the height of intellect or perspicacity.
Well, that's just it, right? When you think you've got an idiot on your hands, sometimes you don't think twice about saying stuff in front of them. After all, they're an idiot.
Yeah, well... part of the problem is that...
Don't look at me so long when I say that, huh?
Part of the problem with us looking into this is that the only people who will be looking into this are people who know about it, And therefore, by investigating it, we are tipping our hands.
Which I think is why the Canopus Fellow is our best lead. Already knows where we are.
Seems to know about the object.
And in my field, you stop believing in coincidences.
Do we make contact and allude to the fact that we're interested in resale? Or just have another conversation?
Probably not too suspicious if I get in touch after having my ear talked off about, I don't know, the nature of things.
Do you have a suitably bullshit-laden textbook to offer?
I grin like a wolf would grin if a wolf could grin. Oh, yeah.
Bronwy, for her part, volunteers to kind of do the internet trolling. You know, part of trying to find connections and information here. Now that she knows a little bit about the baby and has kind of heard about Caleb Dryden, a.k.a. Canopus, she, you know, was going to take that information to the wider internet and see if she can start connecting dots or figuring out contacts and things like that.
And the Canopus of Canopus DRS mm-hmm. is the same as Canopus... Chucklefuck. Mm-hmm. Spelling?
That is the spelling, the name, yes, the same. Sure. In terms of the contents, you haven't opened it directly.
Unknown.
So,
yes. Yeah. No, I think for my part, the investigation of the directory on a sterile environment is mm-hmm. probably the next course of action.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Cal look into Canopus or Caleb?
Caleb Dryden, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Found a couple of
found
a couple of addresses that were associated with non-payment of rent.
Am I remembering correctly, Des, that you did not tell our characters about the invite to the soiree?
Correct.
And just told me not to tell you either.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which I have thus far honored, that request. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, as we are getting everybody up to speed on those things that we are sharing and you know, talking about what each person can do, it seems like a good time to transition to slightly longer term investigations and activities. A few have been nominated, but it seems like it would be a good idea for us to go around, the player characters and just see what people are spending time on and if it requires any particular roles. The next thing of any import happening being on Monday evening, roughly 3 days from the time when this scene is taking place. So let's start with Kato. How are you spending the next couple
days? I think there's two things I'm up to. Yeah, there's two things I'm up to. I'm doing fixer shit, and we can get as specific as we need to as the time comes to see where we could. I don't think we have a way to track down Canopus easily. Is that right? Or is it as simple as knocking on the door?
Well, you have doors you can knock on, but reason to believe that he won't necessarily be there.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do a little recon so that we're not knocking on places that only a fool would think he was. Sure. And I think at the same time, I'm going to make overtures to see about purchasing some additional augmentations for myself and perhaps as a gesture to Aang, since those are the two of us who are augmentable.
Very well. While we are on your stuff, I'm going to get you to go ahead and do a criminal underworld role for... looking into Canopus. This is going to be with Cool, since you are seeking information, presumably from other people. So it's going to be a total of +3. 2d6 +3.
Okay. Oop. A die fell off, so I'm going to roll it again.
Please do.
So that is a total of +3, you said? Total of 11.
11. Nice. Sure. Given that you have some addresses to work with, as well as a legal name from the payment card way back when, you are able to get what I'd call perhaps a file going on Caleb Canopus Dryden, the contents of which we'll get into as we see what else comes from our other characters' activities. But what progress there is to make, you have made.
Cool.
On the subject of augments, you've got some contacts, you've got some experience, you have a relevant specialty. What, if anything, are you actually looking for?
I'm trying to alter ideally both my body and Ing's if he's down for it, or if he's down for it and I only have enough money for one, just his, in a way that would allow us to effectively fight people without killing them.
Okay. It'll end up being an ongoing project for now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, okay, so I think that that's about as much as we're going to get into right this instant there. Cal.
I would like to investigate Burn.
Okay.
And see what I can figure out about their history, having noticed that who they claim to be does not quite add up to who they appear to be.
Okay. Are you taking any particular angle on this investigation?
I'm obviously keeping it off of any traceable lines, so sure. No PSS stuff. I'll be using my bounty hunter skills.
Well, let's go ahead and get a roll from you, and then I can decide exactly how that's going to pan out. So let me see. Let's have 2d6 plus clever plus bounty hunter. So that's going to be plus 4 total, I believe.
I should be plus 2 for bounty hunter now due to
leveling.
Yes, oh, leveling.
Was not reflected on the sheet I was looking at. Thank you for catching that. So total of plus 5.
Okay. That's going to be a 10.
Okay. So you don't have the most to go on here. So at least initially it is pretty frustrating. Something that you do come to realize, though, is that part of the problem that you're running into is the L4 disaster influx. There are a lot of people on the station now who could not be really properly accounted for as they entered because there was this huge emergency with the explosion on Skogavarf and everybody just having to, like, get somewhere with oxygen. So you don't have any particular individual specific evidence that Burn was associated with that particular event, but you have found that it's hard to make concrete progress in narrowing your field of search because both his reported age and his apparent age make it a confusing jumble of information to comb through alongside the influx of people from L4. We will continue to circle back on your investigations as they proceed.
I'm also going to pry up that one board in my apartment and stow one cache in the bag inside.
All right. Leaving you with one cash on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. Burn.
I'm splitting my attention between two things. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I am looking into both the contents of canopus.drs mm-hmm. in a sterile environment mm-hmm. and looking also at code that may be attached to it mm-hmm. that could accomplish the invitation mm-hmm. automagic up to and including like translating white space out of possibly the use of white space as a fucking coding language.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get a hacking roll from you first. Yep. Which
has gone up one, so is +5. Or oh no.
+4 for just the specialties between the two of them, and then
It should now be +5 for the specialties, because I added one from the level.
Right, but I'm looking at a pre-level sheet that has 3, 2 for hacking action and 1 for hacking generic.
So oh, put you at 4. Okay, yep, nope. Correct. Sorry.
All good. Combined with clever, as the statistic, gives you a total of +7.
Cool.
So 2d6 +7.
That is a 17.
Okay. So
thank you, Den Dice.
It takes you a minute, but you come to what you're sure is a fairly sound conclusion, that the code that accounts for the invitation is not in the directory. It was in the system that you copied the directory from. So it was monitoring activity on this directory and sent something somewhere when something, in this case you, interacted with this part of the file system. You don't have that in front of you, but you are approximately as sure as you can be that that must be the mechanism.
Which in turn means that they're very good at figuring out who the fuck I am.
Yeah, it appears that they were able to use what would have been very incidental information to zero in on you, which is impressive and potentially worrying.
Mm-hmm.
As for the contents of the directory itself, they are, from a code standpoint, totally unremarkable. Mostly just documents and images. In fact, I think I may need to amend that to entirely just documents and images. They are about a canopus, but not about Caleb Dryden. The person they're about appears to have had the actual legal given name of Canopus, and appears to have worked on Grand Cross for approximately a year. The specifics available in the files show a rapid succession of cartel employers with suspiciously nondescript names of positions and companies, divisions, and things like that. It would appear that this canopus has not been heard from since a little bit after the most recent department transfer that is listed in this particular directory.
Did this canopus come with a surname?
Yes. 1 second. Canopus, hear you. H-I-R-Y-U. Hear you.
Really?
Not my invention.
So then I am, on the other hand, looking simultaneously into two different people.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Canopus hear you on the one hand, and on the other hand, the good officer.
All right.
Namely, having previously uncovered suggestions that they're the subject or were the subject of a smear campaign, I would like to try to backdate into what might have triggered that and who might have done it.
Okay. I guess it's going to be another separate hacking role for looking into
that. That was assumed, okay. Yeah.
Cool. Well,
that is an 18.
An 18. A 17 followed by an 18 for hacking. Goodness. So your time frame here is a little more limited than the last time you were looking into the good officer, which, you know, sort of just as a matter of fact limits the breadth of information that you can comb through. But you do turn up kind of another seemingly significant bit, another significant datum about the good officer, which is a singular report of Cal having been shot and being in critical condition following that. That is interesting in and of itself, and the other interesting part of it is that, chronologically speaking, there is nothing after it. There's a brief sort of a public record indication of Cal's subsequent retirement from the force, but no further reporting for quite some time. The report of Cal's shooting and injury is spare and matter of fact to the point of abruptness.
Where was Cal shot, both location on the person and location of the shooting?
Unreported in terms of the location on the person. Robin, you may be better qualified than me to chime in on what, if any, information there would be about where this happened.
It occurred on Earth. There were some details about it being in a dark alleyway in the city where she was serving on her normal beat.
You're pretty sure that you'll be able to turn up further information with further investigation, but in the time frame allotted here, that's as far as you can.
Yeah, I'll sideburner that, as it were.
Sure. Sideburner. Burner.
Yep. And the other thing, namely looking into Canopus himself. Did that require an additional role?
This being the Caleb Dryden or Canopus Hear You?
Canopus Hear You.
Hmm. No additional role. excuse me. Let me make sure that I've got this correct before I... Oh my god. I didn't mark her because I thought this would be easy, but then I didn't count on my fingers not cooperating at all with the typing. Okay. The additional information that you learn about Canopus Hiryu can be very well summarized as follows. It is a relatively respected, if not in any way world famous, scientist with a reputation in both the fields of astrophysics and robotics, who was recruited by the Asano Corporation, member of the Offworld Cartel, in 2018. The most recent information included in the directory that you yoinked from Vrutech is dated 2019. After that, there is no information about Canopus Hiryu.
Okay. Any interesting publications to his name that are publicly available?
Let's see. Gonna go two different directions here. Earthside depends on your definition of interesting. You know,
I mean, my present definitions of interesting are one, interesting in se, and two, interesting for either cartel recruitment or disappearment into a booby-trapped directory.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Earthside, he's got, you know, articles in scientific journals that range from fairly de rigueur to perhaps influential in their field. It's kind of hard to tell without familiarity with the academia in those fields. You know, what, like, citation counts mean, you know, it varies a lot. In terms of cartel recruitment, it seems to be, oddly enough, for, you know, the off-world cartel, the more he published in robotics, the more interested they seemed to become, as he sort of tilted in that direction. That's where it leads up to his recruitment. The only official documentation from or about Canopus Hiryu after he comes to Grand Cross is a very desultory newspaper blurb that, in fact, didn't even come up in first order searches, that claim that he, for undisclosed and unspeculated upon reasons, took his own life in 2019.
Sure.
I think that mostly just leaves Ing in terms of things you may be spending the weekend on.
I think that the most immediate need would be to do what I can with no resources at all, except those that might be available perchance at the frontispiece, to alter Buddy and Tran visually, if not functionally. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to... go ahead.
As you say, the good news is that the frontispiece does have a robotics and augmentation workshop, so not nothing.
Yeah, well, with permission, I guess I spend some time at the frontispiece tinkering, seeing if I can turn Buddy into a bumblebee and Fran into a moth.
I love both of those.
I do too.
Unless you frown on it, then I will be lurking to watch while this is happening, like, in person, as I'm doing my other research over the weekend.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You will be gladly tolerated if not interacted with more than would be comfortable.
I'm of course completely fine with you using the facilities, possibly to the consternation of Gorister when he's here. You know, I say tinker away, glow him up.
I also acknowledge that my drone's googly eyes may be distinctive, and so with a heavy heart and a mad scientist's determination, I use a solvent to remove the googly eyes, but replace them with new googly eyes on the ends of teeny tiny little watch springs, which my hope is that they are distinctive enough and differently distinguishable such that I can argue that this is...
When you do that, I suggest that instead of going for googly eyes on the watch springs, you do like a medium small and a small small sequin for the eyes, because you'll get the movement of the eye from the spring, so it can have a similar effect while having no overlapping components.
Instead of the watch spring?
No. You use the watch spring as the source of the movement. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of a watch spring, you would have a medium sequin, medium small sequin, and then a tiny sequin of a different color. So you'd get sort of the iris and pupil effect of an eye on the end of a springy little spring. And you would get a sort of googly eye effect without having googly eyes to tie these bots with those bots that are the same bots.
A valid security consideration, Ben. Thank you for your contributions there, and it'll be so. Yeah. Please, feel free to chime in as we go and see if it's what you'd envisioned.
Because all the drones are now involved, Cal also is lurking and seems both upset, but also also solemn about the removal of the googly eyes.
Ing's right there with you, and I will ask your permission before proceeding with that particular thing when it comes to Banjo. Banjo wasn't involved. It would be a sacrifice on behalf of his brethren. But I recognize that it's non-trivial.
I can help by holding it.
Gorister is around for this procedure, doing his own more frontispiece-related work, and starts playing taps through the speakers in the back room during the operation until Bronwy punches him in the arm. He turns it off.
With Ing's permission, I do give the old googly eyes a small Viking funeral in the sink.
Yes, permission granted. I promise you assemble drones that you're original eyes will be restored to you at a future point, if and when that seems appropriate, and the heat is blown over.
At this point, probably a little belatedly, I should get a roll from you for clever plus robotics to actually do the mechanical work.
Okay, so that is 2d6 plus 5, I think. So I've got a 7 plus 5 is 13.
Is 12.
Yes.
All right.
Like you said.
Right, yeah.
7 plus 3 is 12.
Yeah, so this will take up pretty much your whole... available work time. It's involved work. You don't just, pull off, it's not like replacing a keycap, right, on a keyboard. It's integrating it into the mechanics. You're just machine parts, right, for this. But on the upside, when you're finished, you would be hard-pressed to identify them visually if you didn't know as the same drones. And their functionality is unchanged. So, pretty successful. Also, you know, the googly eyes had a whimsy to them that is really hard to match with approximations. On the other hand, Burns' sequence suggestion does have a certain elegance to it that makes for a decent trade-off.
Well done, Ben. I think this is a success. And I give Burns some finger guns. Pwah! Pwah!
I will blink at the sound effect and silently, like, finger guns back.
I can't unhear the tortoises.
Dear listener, I'd commented earlier that a couple of episodes ago, the non-lethal finger guns did sound like a tortoise orgasm.
He's not incorrect.
The more you know.
Which, you know, instead of taking life, hours. It's giving it. So, you know, that's yeah. valid.
More turtles is always good.
Yeah.
You're here.
So, between those activities and Bronwies, this does bring you around toward Monday. Now, this does beg the question, what, if anything, Burn, are you doing with the information about the invite or sharing about the information from the invite?
I take Cato physically aside at one point. To discuss. So, it appears likely that the invitation was generated as a result of code on the server itself monitoring the directory for copying. So, one, quite sophisticated. Two, the contents of the directory relate to Canopus hear you, and I detail that.
Mm-hmm.
So, obvious fuckery is obvious, unless it is some manner of in memoriam. And even then, it's still kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Three, it came to my personal email.
Huh.
From a hack.
As a quick aside, I don't know that I specified it came to your personal email. The notification you got was that it came from a personal email, not from a
where did it come to then?
I kind of leave it up to you. It found you. What would you
I
like
hope this message finds
yeah.
You beat me to it.
What would you like it to have arrived at given the circumstances?
I mean, there's no way for it to have gotten to me that is not dreadfully worrying.
Sure.
Can we sidebar, Adam?
Certainly.
So, I had the interesting and worrying thought mm-hmm. that it could have come to a thinner gray.
Ah. Yeah, no, I'm
which
fine
has
with that,
the
yeah.
additional, like, I don't know what you are planning with this, uh-huh. but it could both be existentially terrifying to me mm-hmm. and introduce to the listeners my actual name.
Sure, yeah, no, I like that because it also accords more or less with some stuff.
Right.
And
this is me handing you a present.
Indeed, yeah. And I think the other thing there too is that we established last time that the invitation, like the text in the image, you know, was addressed to Matchstick. So they would then know right. at least two names associated with you.
Oh yes.
So
and not the one I most frequently go by, which is sort of an implied threat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that works well. If you're good with that, then I am happy to accept this.
Yeah,
gift.
Yeah.
All right.
I do not indicate to Kato where it comes from. If you want to roll, Drew, some manner of perception-y thingy, perception-y and you're actually thingy. Paying attention to, like, what of my email addresses it might have come to.
Okay. Would that be feel free. Clever, quick?
Definitely a clever in this case. Okay. And I think probably...
That's 2d6 plus 2, then?
Yeah, cool. I'm trying to scroll through your character sheet. I can't... You don't have very many specialties, so I have trouble finding them. Yeah, they're not going to apply, so it will just be clever, which is plus 2. 2d6 plus 2.
Cool. That's a total of 10.
Okay.
Okay. It looks like... it's sort of formatted like a personal business type, like, you know, jeremy.brinster@gmail.com or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a handle of Burns that or a name associated with Burn that you have seen before.
Mm.
And I'm going to say that. Burn obscures that, I think, probably just sliding a digit sort of coincidentally that may or may not be intentional, depending on your interpretation of the matter. Obviously, out of character, this is all dodgy as fuck.
Sure. Right. Yeah, I mean, in character, it's dodgy in a way that's probably familiar. Even I don't know, homey in a certain way.
The other thing that you get is that Burn is quite agitated about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Beyond, I think, the homey familiarity of the dodginess.
Yeah, fair. I say, to summarize, sophisticated. Definitely a trap, and aware of who you are, at least in, I sort of eye the finger covering the information in one form or another. That's bad.
When you eye the obscuring finger, you get a very sort of thin-lined mouth, and the image entirely disappears.
Look, I'm not trying to find anything you're not ready to tell me. I just want to know what we're up against here and see if there's some way to reverse engineer the trap. But the very fact that it was baited tells me that someone already knows more than we want them to.
Yeah, no, I give the rundown on Canopus and the connection to cartels and robotics and the very sort of obscure suggestion in the newspaper that he took his own life for reasons unknown.
Okay. Oh. All right.
I just thought this was going to be related to that chucklefuck who came into the bookshop is why I grabbed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have assumed the same. Okay, well first, what do you need for me or in general to feel safer about all this? What steps can we take?
They shouldn't know what I look like.
Well, that's good.
Given my talent for obscuring that, at any rate.
Related question, then. The identity they're aware of, is it, if you'll pardon the turn of phrase, a burner?
It should have been burnt.
Oh. Look, like I said, don't say anything you don't want to say. I just,
You already know that I am as much who I say I am because I am who I say I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I say in a way that tells me you've said this exact phrase before, and I don't entirely follow it, but also don't want to litigate it.
Look, you're exactly who you want and need to be here. It's honestly as simple as that, as far as I'm concerned. The rest is tools and OPSEC. So, let's get our house in order.
Yeah, no, this is a major threat. I suspect the others need to be read in on it, at least to the degree that I've received a worryingly bespoke invitation.
Yeah.
I suspect that Cal is both going to want to ride shotgun, possibly literally, if indeed the officer feels that I should be permitted to spring this trap at all. There is no option there.
There is no option, as in the danger of not responding is greater than the danger of responding?
Absolutely.
Well, then we respond. And the rest is optimization.
Yep.
Okay. Let's take it to the group. And, hey, I'm sorry that this is happening.
The pause is actually in character.
Yeah.
Something was always going to happen. I didn't figure it would be this past. I didn't figure it would be now. I didn't figure it would be this. But here we fucking are.
Nothing's ever buried quite as deep as you think it is. But you're not alone.
I think with that, we probably make our way back to the group.
Mm-hmm. So,
I say like on the way, I offer physical closeness, but I don't force it. You know, an arm outstretched as we're walking, stuff like that. But I don't insist upon
anything. It's taken uncharacteristically.
Mm-hmm. I actually am slightly taken aback for a moment, but compose myself and just be there.
And more so, I don't move out of it when we, like, go through the door to where everyone else is. So everyone else fucking sees it, too.
Hmm. So everyone else in this case is probably everyone but Cal, since Ing is using the frontispiece's, like, tools and equipment. Mm-hmm. I guess, Cal, you could be there if you are off-duty and interested enough in overseeing the drone, you know, operations through their entirety. It's up to you. This would be on, like, Sunday evening.
Gotcha. I probably started it by observing the removal of the googly eyes, so I ended up just milling about, taking an interest in books that I'm not actually reading.
Good deal. So, yeah, everybody is, you know, proximately present. And this actually includes Bronwyn. She, you know, it comes and goes during the day, but is mostly back during the evenings. This does not include Gorister. He doesn't come in on Sundays unless you're paying overtime. So he's not there. So Cal and Burn come in, usual configuration. Bronwyn is sort of the first to react. I leave it up to you guys, the order that you noticed in. She immediately goes, "Something wrong or something exciting?"
More wrong than exciting.
No.
And not the good sort of exciting.
Aw.
Yeah. Hey, you took the word right out of my mouth. So, on the theme of definite traps that we're nonetheless going to have to walk into, and I sort of convey what we talked about. I don't share anything more than I have to in terms of the specifics of what identity they've got. I just say it's not really something they should have been able to figure out. And the very fact that they know means that we have no choice but to do something. There's a threat, we sort of need to put a bullet in it.
Canopus hear you mean anything to you, Bronwy?
I swear I've heard hear you somewhere, though I don't think in combination with Canopus. I'm going to look into it. Give me a minute, but while we're reporting some findings and things going on, I thought I'd also just point out I did manage to get a little more information on, and she gestures surreptitiously to where the baby is hanging. So, you know, discuss amongst yourselves while I try to track back where I've heard hear you. I did find the sort of like internet lore name for this thing. Over three. All one word, usually. The
just
story...
over three, like pie?
Oh, maybe. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, over three.
Okay.
The thread, you know, that sort of established the lore, if you will. Feels weird to talk about something I'm in the room with this way, but it hasn't survived, but some other conversations have in more obscure places, and well, it's remarkably consistent. So my guess is somebody saw this thing in action and talked about it to somebody who, I don't know, had some chain of telephone going to whoever posted the original story. The creepypasta, and the behavior seems remarkably consistent. You know, reciting pi, going berserk, the arms. You know, it all seems to fit. So, I'm guessing what we're dealing with here is like a collectively sublimated eyewitness account. The name is pretty consistent in what I've been able to find, though. So, if that helps. Sorry, I don't have more. Let me look up here. You. See what I find.
Hey, that's more than we had. So that's good to start.
About this invitation.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I just raise an eyebrow at Kato.
After what I assume is an excruciating pause. Yeah.
A nonverbal told you so.
After what I assume is an absolutely excruciating pause and a return of the, you know, responding to the, I told you so with, I know. I say,
say more about that.
No, negatory. Don't do it.
It's less of a language comprehension issue and more of a, if not, something, then what? We can't do nothing. The threat's already here. I mean, they're gonna be more here by the moment, right?
Put it this way, Cal. If not we, then I.
That's what I didn't want to say, but yeah, also that.
Still no.
Do you propose to arrest me?
If it comes to that.
Fucking hell.
Just because they have something on you doesn't mean they have everything on you. Does it?
They have a point of origin.
And that's not very well connected to where you are now.
It shouldn't have been.
Did you let something slip in the building when you were hacking the system?
This is well beyond what I would have said was in the realm of the possible 2 days ago.
Is it...
Instead of showing them your hand, wait for them to play another card.
Would that we all had that luxury to go on despite a smear campaign.
The next card also might involve this internet-famous possible weapon of mass destruction that we have here. If they know something it should be impossible to know, then we have to at least consider the possibility that they, well, know more.
Yeah, no, like, if they could get a read on me that thoroughly from that amount of contact in approximately real time, then they could overwhelm our security here.
We run a fairly tight ship, but we are a fucking bookstore.
I suspect they already have.
Bronwy goes, I am really sorry, but this seems relevant. Don't want to interrupt too much, but, Hear You. I hadn't heard of Canopus Hear You, but I had heard the name Hear You. She looks more than faintly embarrassed and is like, I have kind of a weakness for, like, society papers, tabloids, bullshit. It's, you know, but...
Whatever keeps you entertained.
Right, right, that. So, right. There's a Hear You who is, like, one of those people whose job seems to be, like, entertaining, throwing parties, if you will. Haru Hear You?
Hahi. Does that ring a bell?
Hahi.
Oh. That would make sense.
That would make sense.
I can run some files.
Appreciate it.
Bronwy kind of, you know, makes an excitable gesture and goes, yeah, no, didn't really look into it from the whole tabloid thing, but a cursory glance, Haru's dad was named Canopus. Doesn't seem like a coincidence.
Unlikely to be.
How old is Haru?
She kind of flutters her fingers and does some scrolling. Says late 20s? Speculation, anyway. I'm sure I
Does
could
this
find...
match up as plausible with the age in the dossier of Canopus?
Certainly.
Tracks.
Well, we have a professional non-believer in coincidences. We have a lead. That's better than going in blind, sure, right? Gotta be.
I suspect it's going to be extortion. I suspect it's going to be the sort of work that we may be interested in anyway. I suspect we'll be in over our heads.
You know, it's easy to assume that this is something nefarious, but, and the implied threat is clear.
I give you my best, this is cute.
But not everyone is an enemy in this world. It may be that having copied the Canopus directory, and thus either knowingly or unknowingly expressed some interest in the untimely demise of this person's father, that they may be looking for allies. I don't think that we should go in prepared for that, unless we're also prepared for the opposite.
Like I said, I expect this will be extortion. I expect this will be the sort of work we'd be interested in.
Is your point of origin associated with an appearance? Physical or otherwise?
Y- It has been long enough that I cannot honestly say. But at the same time, given that, it should be difficult. However, this should have been impossible, so here we are.
Nothing's impossible. I think if we can't pull up anything on Haru, that would let us approach an environment that is less suited to her whim. I imagine you would be attempting to go regardless, and I'm not keen on arresting you given what you have in your bookstore. We could mod my holographic armor to look like you.
I look over in the eternal and international diplomatic gesture of, it's a good offer.
At about this point, I don't know why I said about, let me try that again. At this point, Cal, you get not a like specific message from Lou or PSS, but a relatively rare thing in PSS's sort of communication response protocols. You get what is essentially an all points bulletin. They don't call them that in this particular private security, but it's just a text blast to all personnel reading, student, parentheses, female, South Asian, close parentheses, assaulted near JDB. Be on the lookout. And that's where we'll end our session. It's not exactly where I pictured it, so I'm not going to make those who have cash roll for keeping it because we didn't really get an opportunity to spend it, so I'm going to bend the rules there. But we are up on our time. We just have limited windows to record these in, and here we are. So that is the best that I can currently do in terms of a place for us to pick up on. Always like to have at least two plates spinning in this campaign, so... I don't believe that we had any particular sort of overall milestones, but I may be having some individual conversations with some people about some personal goals between now and our next recording session. So we'll handle those at the beginning of next one. With that, though, this session of Dice Punks is concluded. Thanks for joining us. I hope our players and listeners enjoyed it as much as I did and that you'll join us again next time. If you're hearing us now, then you probably know where to listen to this, but we can be found almost any place one can listen to podcasts, as well as on the wider web at dicepunks.com and on Tumblr and Blue Sky as at dicepunks. With that, I think we're ready to say farewell, so say goodbye to the kind folks back on Earth, players.
Thanks for listening, and not everyone's an enemy. Gauge your reaction to that information. Sometimes you bristle at it more than you might expect.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Do you know who your kids are texting or receiving emails from?
Thanks for listening, folks. And if they knew where you were, hope they don't know how fast you're going.
Thank you for listening. This episode was brought to you by our listeners. Listeners, for when you just need a lovely human being to listen to things, try Listeners today.
Bravo.
Honestly, that's a more effective ad than BetterHelp.
Probably more effective than BetterHelp as well.
Every time.
Yeah, right.
And as the poet once said, we didn't choose to be born under the dying sun. Just let us cool the burn. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. Stick around through the admin stuff for a G-Pole campus safety briefing with Officer Armitage. The music in this episode, Augment or Die, is by Emerson Boatwright and our very own bookmonger, Drew. Check out their work at the link in the show notes. Editing and our rad new cover art was done by Joanne, who's appeared on the podcast now and again. Check out her work around the internet where she goes by Anything Sews. Site design and graphics for DicePunks.com are by the one and only Officer Armitage, Robin. Hardwired Island is by Paul Machevic, Freya Erlingsdaughter, and Minerva McJonda. You can find Hardwired Island at etten.itch.io/hardwiredisland. Links to the system and authors can be found on the Punk Grimoire section of our website, DicePunks.com. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what you heard, that's reward enough on its own, but if you're so inclined, you can help us out by rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to us, telling your friends who you think would like us to give us a listen, and even by heading over to our Patreon at patreon.com/dicepunks. We have fun rewards available to backers, including a patron-only Discord and access to the Dice Peaks After Show for episodes 1.1 and following. Regardless, we hope you'll tune in again, and until then, remember, subtlety is for cowards.
Greetings, students. This is Officer Armitage with your weekly GPOL campus safety briefing, brought to you by your friends at Polytech Security Solutions. We are continuing to investigate reports of an incident, not the first really, at a local bar. If you've got leads, please use our site's message feature or text LEAD to 7676. And an officer will be in touch with you shortly. In the meantime, here's how to stay safe while on campus. S. Stick to well-lit and populated areas. T. Travel with a friend. Don't walk alone. A. Avoid dark, deserted spots or bars with a certain reputation. Y. Your drink stays with you. Keep it covered and never accept drinks from... You know what, students? This is victim-blaming BS. This is not normal, and we need to stop acting like it is. Let's do another safety briefing, this time for those of you condom accidents that are responsible. Here's a word that you should get very familiar with. Nope. N. No means no. No exceptions. O. Only clear and enthusiastic consent counts. Anything else is a crime. P. Pay attention to boundaries, both the verbal and nonverbal cues. E. Most importantly, expect consequences. Mess around and you'll enter your find out era. And if I catch any of you in the act, I'll personally ensure that you become familiar with another word. Eunuch.
God damn it, Armitage, stay on script!